In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, here we are. This is the final sermon in my 18-part sermon series in the book of Acts. Now, of course, I did not cover every detail and every event in the book of Acts. Instead, throughout the course of these 18 sermons, I have focused on several main events that happened in the first decades of the Christian church after Jesus' ascension to heaven. Now, if you recall, the title of this entire sermon series is Facts in Acts. Now, why is that title important? Well, it's important because it helps us remember that the book of Acts gives us facts that took place in history. Real people, real places, real events. Most important of all, the book of Acts bears witness to the fact of Jesus, the eternal Son of God who entered our world in human flesh to save us from sin and eternal damnation. You see, unlike man-made, non-Christian religions, the Christian faith is not based on human opinions, myths, or fairy tales. On the contrary, the Christian faith is based on fact. The Christian faith is based on God's acts in history as he dealt with real people and real places. Therefore, when you hear these readings from the book of Acts, you are being confronted with the facts of God's actions in history that also make a claim on our lives today. With that said, let's examine our reading from Acts chapter 28, the final chapter of the book of Acts. Today's reading begins with these words, "After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island." Now, as you all know by now, these words were written by a man named Luke, the same Luke who wrote the Gospel of Luke. And did you notice that little word, "we"? That word "we," whenever you see it in the book of Acts, tells us that Luke is giving us information that he witnessed and experienced in person. He was actually there. He was a companion of the Apostle Paul himself. Now, Luke says that after 3 months, they put out to sea. Well, if you were here last Sunday, you will recall that King Agrippa had previously ordered that Paul should go to Rome to stand trial in Caesar's court. But on the way to Rome, their ship entered a storm, and they ended up being stranded on a small island by the name of Malta, which is located about 100 miles south of Sicily. Well, they stayed there 3 months. And as we heard at the beginning of our reading, they then attained another ship, and they used that to resume their journey to Rome. Now, after leaving Malta, Luke tells us they end up in Syracuse, a city on the southeastern coast of Sicily. They stayed there 3 days. Then they left from there, ended up in Rhegium, and eventually they end up in a city named Puteoli, which was located on the western coast of Italy, about 200 miles south of Rome. Well, Luke says they met some fellow Christians there, and they stayed with them for 1 week. After that, they eventually end up in the city of Rome, just as Jesus said that Paul would do. You see, what you need to realize is that even though Paul had a roundabout way of getting to Rome, all this was part of God's plan to give Paul many opportunities to speak about Jesus to as many people in as many places as possible. And now, Paul finally has a chance to witness about Jesus in the capital city of the Roman Empire. Now, Luke says that once they arrived in Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself in his own rented house while being guarded by a Roman soldier. You see, Paul was allowed this courtesy because he was a Roman citizen. Therefore, he had the right to certain benefits and special treatments under the law. Nevertheless, he was still a prisoner. That means he couldn't go anywhere alone. In fact, according to the custom of that time, he was very likely chained to the guard that was watching over him. You know, I can't help but think that Paul took advantage of that situation to witness to the guard who was watching over him. In fact, did you know that Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians while he was imprisoned in Rome? I want you to listen to what Paul says in the first chapter of Philippians. Listen to what he says. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. So just when we think that Paul might be depressed because he's under house arrest, he actually sees this as an opportunity that God is using to help him share the gospel with more and more people. Now we can learn something from this, my friends. You see, just like God was in control of Paul's life, God is in control of our lives. Now that doesn't mean that we can't make our own plans, that we can't make our own decisions or go about our business. Instead, what I'm trying to say is that as Christians, we live our lives and we make our plans with the understanding that God is in control and He will guide our circumstances according to His purposes. For instance, I'd like you to listen carefully to these words from the book of James. James writes, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." Did you hear what James said? God is using James to teach us that we must repent when we arrogantly think that we are in control of our own lives and schedules. Now the good news is that God forgives us through Jesus for such arrogance. The good news is also that Christ will lovingly help us understand that as we make our plans in life and go about our daily business, we should do it with this constant prayer in our minds. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. So as we go through life and make our plans, we must remember that God is in control, and He will guide our circumstances to give us opportunities to witness to others about the hope that we have in Jesus. And my friends, we need to remember this, especially when God allows us to go through hard times. You see, it's during times of suffering that the devil wants us to think that God has either abandoned us or worse yet is out to get us. But the fact is, God teaches us in Scripture that He will use our times of trial, first of all, to strengthen our faith in Him. But secondly, God will also use our trials to give us opportunities to witness to others about the hope that we have in Jesus. Now, with that understood, let's get back to our reading. Luke says that after arriving in Rome, 3 days went by, and then Paul called together the leaders of the Jews in Rome. Now the first thing Paul does is he assures these Jewish leaders that the Jews from Jerusalem are falsely accusing him. Secondly, Paul also stresses that he has done nothing against his people, nor has he done anything to conflict with the teaching of the Old Testament scriptures. Well, the Jews in Rome are not sure what to make of all this. They have heard rumors about these Christians, and the rumors they heard were not good. But they're willing to give Paul a chance to explain himself, and so they arrange to meet with Paul on another day. And when that day finally arrives, Luke says that large numbers of Jews turn out to hear what Paul has to say about Jesus. So yet another opportunity to witness to these Jews. I want you to listen to what Luke writes about this event that he himself witnessed. Luke writes, "From morning till evening, Paul explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets." Now, did you notice the two things that Paul did? First, he told them about the kingdom of God. If you study Holy Scripture, you find out that the kingdom of God is nothing more than Jesus breaking into this world to save his people from their sins. The kingdom of God is about Jesus coming to forgive us and love us and give us eternal life with him. In addition, Luke says that Paul used the law of Moses and the prophets to convince them of this. In other words, the entire Old Testament scripture leads us to Jesus and everything that he has done for us. Now, here's another thing I want you to notice. Luke says that they listened to Paul and studied the scriptures with him from morning all the way into the evening. What can we learn from this? I think we can learn from this that we need to examine our schedules and rethink our priorities so that we have the time to grow in the knowledge of the scriptures that God has so mercifully given to us in our own language. You know, sometimes I think we take that for granted. I have a friend, his name is Nathan Essela. I was able to actually supervise him as a field worker when I was a pastor in St. Louis. Now, he is a missionary in Africa working with Lutheran Bible translators. I recently went to his webpage and learned how he is working hard to translate the Word of God into the language of one of the tribes there that has never had the scriptures in their own native tongue. And these people are just overjoyed. Every time another portion of the scriptures is translated, they just devour it and spend their time hovering over it and learning it. I think we can learn from that. Imagine if we didn't even have the Bible in our own language, how deprived we would be. And yet God in his mercy has given us his word that points us to Jesus in our own English language. All the more reason that we need to take time to make sure that we're receiving this gift and being blessed by it. Currently, I am taking our Sunday adult Bible class through the Gospel of Matthew, which teaches us how Jesus fulfilled the entire Old Testament when he entered this world to save us from our sins. So I encourage you to take time to attend this Bible class and other Bible classes that we offer. I promise you, if you do, God will bless you spiritually. Now, Luke goes on to write the following about the Jews who heard everything that Paul taught them that day. Luke writes, "Some were convinced by what Paul said, but others would not believe." Now, did you hear what Luke said? He said, some believed God's word and others did not. He didn't say that they didn't understand God's word. You see, Luke tells us that Paul had carefully explained what the scriptures teach about Jesus, so they understood what the scriptures taught, but sadly, they simply refused to believe it. They valued their own opinions more than they valued God's word. Now, what can we learn from this incident? First, if you are here today, if you believe Holy Scripture, if you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then don't pat yourself on the back. You see, Scripture clearly teaches that the Holy Spirit is the one who works repentance and faith in the hearts of sinners. So if we do believe, then we must give all glory to God, because it's His Holy Spirit who has worked through God's Word to open our hearts and give us faith in Jesus. Secondly, if there are people who refuse to believe when they hear God's Word proclaimed, then they have no one to blame but themselves. Because Scripture clearly teaches that God wants all to be saved through faith in Jesus. So when people trust in themselves and resist the Holy Spirit, they are thereby pushing away the forgiveness and the love and the life that God sincerely wants to give them. Therefore, we need to pray for people we know who refuse to repent and who refuse to trust in Jesus. We need to pray that God's Spirit will break through their hard hearts and give them repentance and faith. Unless that happens, they will not be saved. In fact, Paul gives that very warning to the unbelieving Jews who were there that day, and he warns them by quoting from one of the Old Testament prophets, the prophet Isaiah. Listen again to that quotation. "This people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." Did you hear that? Isaiah clearly teaches that God wants to heal everyone. By that, he means that God wants all people to receive His forgiveness, love, and eternal salvation through Jesus. That's why Paul warns these unbelieving Jews, because he knows that if they continue to reject God's Word, if they continue to resist the Holy Spirit, their hearts will grow harder and harder, and they might eventually get to a point where their hearts are hardened beyond being able to repent and believe. So Paul says to them, "I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." Now, Paul didn't say that to be mean. Instead, he said this so that the unbelieving Jews would repent and hopefully say, "We have sinned, Paul. We want Christ's salvation too. Please teach us about Jesus. We will listen." My brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit moves us Christians to pray that same prayer every day in so many words. Essentially, He moves us to pray, "God, we have sinned. We want Christ's salvation. Please, please, Lord, teach us about Jesus. We will listen." And praise be to God, His Holy Spirit has opened our hearts and eyes and ears so that we do repent and we do believe that in Jesus we have forgiveness of sins and everything that we truly need. Luke ends the book of Acts with these words. "For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ." That's the vision I have for our congregation. That boldly and without hindrance, we might proclaim the kingdom of God and teach others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as all were welcome to Paul's house to hear the good news, everyone is also welcome to this house of God, where we proclaim God's truth in love. We Christians have the privilege of coming here as often as possible so that we can learn about the kingdom of God and about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the forgiveness and love and wonderful plan that He has for our lives now and for all eternity. I also ask you to pray that God will move more and more people to come to this house so that more and more people may hear about Jesus. Finally, as you leave this place today, I want you to remember that God is in control of your life. He loves you. He forgives you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And He also plans to use you to be a witness to others about Jesus, so that more and more people can have the opportunity to rejoice in His salvation. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and